Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in and sharing your time with us tonight. This is DSMA Live. DSMA stands for Diabetes Social Media Advocacy and is a program provided by the Diabetes Community Advocacy Foundation. We are all about empowering, connecting, supporting, and educating those who live with diabetes. Tune in every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time at dsmalive.org. Our show is recorded live, and tonight is the 30th of April, 2015. We would love to hear from anyone out there listening. Our call-in number is 760-283-5150. Again, that number is 760-283-5150. My name is Scott. I'm one of the co-hosts. I'm joining our other co-host, George, as well as the founder and creator of DSMA, Charisse. And last week, we had a fun co-host show where I had the distinct pleasure of pressing the wrong button and interrupting the show right in the middle. So tonight we're going to try it all over again with another co-host show. It's just us kind of talking and chatting about pretty much anything that comes up, whatever's on our mind. It'd be a great night for you to call in and say hi and share your thoughts with us. We would love to hear from you. Other than that, we've got a lot of fun stuff to talk about, right, guys?
Yeah, and you know, Scott, what I think about when you said instead of looking at the show as one where you accidentally stopped it in the middle, I just think it was a two-parter. You know, it was like a to be continued, one right after the other.
Yes, a bonus episode. I love it.
So it was a nail biter, as they say. That's great.
Yeah, and actually, I'm happy because it wasn't me hanging up this time. It was you.
Yeah. Well, technical difficulty. So how are you guys this week? What's happening?
I'm doing good. You know what? It's funny because, like, remember last week I was telling you about the Fitbit challenge? So I've been really good at that. But I noticed that when I don't move as much, my blood sugars are crazy. So today I didn't move as much as I would normally move, and my blood sugars have been high all day. I think they actually just got down to normal probably about an hour or so ago. So, but other than that, I'm good. How are y'all doing?
I'm doing great. You know, it's funny when you said that, the first thing that popped into my head is the big blue test that happens every November, and how effective, you know, just even the littlest bit of exercise can be, you know. That's something that just popped in my head when you said that. But no, things have been good. I've had some struggles with just a lot of variability when it comes to my blood sugars. But hopefully we can talk a little bit about that a little later on in the show, just about some changes I've made with my doctor that I've seen some pretty nice results. So I'm feeling pretty good, especially about my diabetes life. So that's a good thing. What about you, Scotty? How you doing?
Yeah, that's great. I'm doing great. I'm really glad to hear that, George. I hope we can kind of dig into that a little bit more later. Charisse, it's great that you mentioned that Fitbit challenge, because I actually had the pleasure of sitting down to enjoy some time with Laddie Lindahl yesterday from Test, Guess, and Go. And she was very excited about all of that Fitbitting that you guys did. And she showed me her Fitbit. And, you know, back in the day, I used one of those first Misfit Shines that came out. It was kind of a really cool disc-looking thing that you'd like double-tap it and it would light up around the outside. And it was kind of cool, but you had to manually replace it. It used like a coin cell battery, and you had to open it up and take the battery out and replace it. And I think I just got caught with an early version, but I found I was having to replace the battery too much, and eventually the thing just broke, and I kept losing it. You know, it would fall off when I played basketball, stuff like that. So the novelty kind of wore off, combined with just some technical difficulties. But as I was looking, talking with Laddie yesterday about all the fun you guys have had, Charisse, with all that stuff you've been doing, and we'll talk about that in just a second here. She showed me hers, and she uses just the kind of the older Fitbit One, I think it's called. It's the kind that just clips onto like your waistband or pocket. Do you know which one it is,
Reese? Oh, it's the Zip. That's the same one I bought.
Okay. So, you know, that's something that I could wear when I play basketball or, you know, do any of these other things. So I'm actually kind of interested in it and might pick one up in the next little bit here and see how I like it. So how do you like it?
Actually, I like it a lot. And it's funny because, like, last week I did the Fitbit Challenge and I was determined to stay in the number three spot. So it's a good thing that Laddie was tired because – Friday, I walked 23,000 steps, which was amazing. And it's crazy because while I was walking, my blood sugar dropped. So I had to completely turn my pump off, and I just kept walking. I'm like, I am not going to let this, I'm not going to let diabetes stop me from accomplishing my goal. So it was funny because I'm walking around the neighborhood at 9 o'clock at night telling people Fitbit is addictive. Be careful. Don't buy one. But the cool thing is that I realized that I need to move. And it was funny because today at work, my supervisor was like, my blood sugar's been high. He said, Sharice, have you noticed you haven't moved as much? He was like, go ahead, go for a walk, get that blood sugar down. So it was funny because now that they're starting to recognize how much exercise has helped. And remember I told you about the standing desk? So they're ordering me one so that way I can stand as well because they know how much it's helped me with, you know, manage my diabetes, which is actually pretty cool.
Oh, that's really cool. So let's back up just a bit for the benefit of our listeners. And, you know, we've each mentioned this Fitbit Challenge a few times. Can you tell us a bit about what that is and how it came out about and what that experience was like for you?
So the first challenge was I just got hooked into Fitbit, and Carrie Sparling from 6 months to me, she was like, hey, Sharice, you should do a challenge. And I was like, okay, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'll do the challenge. So I did the challenge, and I invited – you can only have 10 people involved in each challenge. So the name of the challenge is called Work Week Hustle. So it's Monday through Friday, and you have to move. I mean, like, you really have to move because Ben had over 180,000 steps, and then Carrie had over – 150,000, I believe, and I was in third place at like 83,000. So 10 people every day, it just, you knock somebody out every week. But the cool thing about it is it's not about the step that you take, it's about the cheering that goes on. So it kind of has its own social media element as well. So you can cheer each other on in the chat. And whoever is behind Fitbit was pretty clever because it's like, hey, you know, that 10,000 step goal was nothing for Sharice. She did it. And then everybody goes in and kind of cheers you on. And you can also taunt people. So sometimes I taunt like Carrie and Laddie because they're very competitive. So it's pretty fun. But it's funny because today I was at home. I got off work early and I didn't do a lot of moving today, a lot of stepping. And I was laying in bed. And I looked at my Fitbit, and I said, I only have 6,000 steps. Oh, I can't finish the day at 6,000 steps. So I got up and went for a walk until I hit my 10,000 steps because I know that I feel much better when I get up and move. And to me, to have that Fitbit, it's really changed me. I never thought that I would be into it like I am, but I'm definitely into it. And it's not only something that I'm doing for myself. I have my daughter walking with me and her friend walking with me as well. So when I go my 3 mile walks, they go with me because they need to get off the, you know, the Apple products and get out and have some fun like we used to when we were kids.
That's really cool. How you know, one of the things that I worry about or am concerned about, and this actually came up during the DSMA chat last night on Twitter, was kind of that level of competitiveness, right? So how does Fitbit or any other system that you've had experience with handle that? So one of the analogies that I like to use is I love playing chess with my father-in-law. only because, you know, I've gotten to a point where I can maybe, like, hang with him, right? I have a chance to win. But back in the day, I almost didn't even want to play because he would beat me every single time. So how do you stay motivated versus being demotivated by someone who you have no chance of kind of catching or hanging with? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I think for me, it's I know that I'm not going to be number one, and I know that I'm not going to be number two. However, I know that my goal is to at least walk 75,000 steps between Monday through Friday. As long as I do that, it really doesn't matter. It's just fun to be competitive, so and to kind of push people. For instance, there's a daily challenge going on, and Kelly, she hasn't actually met her goal, and she said today she took a longer walk because of the Fitbit challenge, and her Fitbit friends encouraged her to walk longer. So you went from seeing somebody that was walking 2,000 steps to completing her step goal for the day just off of, you know, participating in challenges for the last couple of days. So we helped motivate her. Now, when it comes to, like, taunting and stuff like that, and the competitive side, I don't really do it so much inside of the actual app itself because it is fun and I do cheer people on, but sometimes I just got to beat Laddie. I have to beat Laddie.
You know, along the same lines of this topic, there was a tweet last night during the chat that I got such a kick out of that I think ties into this nicely, and it's very ironic, but Leslie Kimball, who is at Poetic Librarian, she says, if I only need to get in an extra 300 steps to get past goal, I will do it. If I have to get an extra 2,000 to meet goal, I'll have a cookie instead. It just made me laugh because I've had very similar experiences where sometimes those goals can seem motivating, but sometimes they almost feel the opposite of motivating. So I don't know. It's kind of a funny thing how different people respond to those stimuli, right?
Yeah, and I think too, though, it's something that was said is that it's not so much as, you know, you hit your 10,000, you take 10,000 steps. The goal is to get up and get moving. So I think you said in your tweet is even if you go to the mailbox to get your mail, that's a win. To me,
yeah,
if you can.
I think it's important for us to all, like everybody to remember that exercise and activity, it's all relative, right? So if you're, if your heartbeat is increased when you get up and go walk to the mailbox to get your mail, and that's like an exertion for you, that counts as exercise. It totally does. And I think we all could do a much better job of just remembering that it's all relative. We don't have to go out and do a bunch of Ironman marathons or anything like that.
Right, I definitely agree. So since we're on the topic of Twitter, did you all, you know, have a chance to do the hashtag, participate in the hashtag, I wish people knew that diabetes hashtag?
Unfortunately, I was not able to. I know I knew about it, and I had every intention of participating, but as you guys all know, life can sometimes get in the way of what we like to do. But, you know, I did some lurking afterwards, just searching the hashtag and stuff. It was pretty cool stuff. Were you guys able to participate at all?
So,
yes.
Kind of
you
like you, George. Sure. Yeah, sorry to step on your toes there, Charisse. I much like you, George, I couldn't participate much throughout the day, but by the nature of being a bit connected, I was able to see some tweets and Facebook messages and things like that flying around, and it was just really a very special event, and I'm so proud of Kelly Koenig and all the work that you did with that. So it was a lot of fun to see.
Yeah, I was going to say, so I cheated. I did it a day earlier. So I started when our Australian community was going. So I didn't really get to participate because I knew that I would be working the next day. So I did everything with our Australian community. It was actually really cool because, as always, we all say the same things, but maybe just say them just a little different. So there were some tweets where I'm like, oh, my gosh, yes, that is so true. And there was a lot of educational tweets in there as well. There's a lot of just because you see food or a sugary item doesn't mean you should tag it with diabetes because that's not what life is like. So I just to see the tweets, and it's funny because I'm still seeing people retweet tweets from last week as well. So it was definitely a good movement as well. But, you know, it's something else that I'm really excited about that's coming up again. Registration is actually opening at midnight tonight, and that's the Young Conference, right?
That is correct. Yeah, tonight, okay. Midnight will be the open registration.
Okay,
it's for the one in March.
And that's the one that's in Las Vegas?
Correct.
Can you tell our listeners about that just in case they may not know?
Sure. Yeah, so this will be actually the second annual Diabetes Unconference. This year was the inaugural year, and the Unconference is exactly that. Imagine what a conference is, and this is not that. It's really different, and I know that maybe it's really kind of difficult kind of idea to get around in your head, but which it was for me, I will be honest. But really what it was a group of people with diabetes coming together for this day and a half of discussion and talks in a place that was completely safe and non-judgmental, and it was just an amazing experience. There was no professional speakers, there was no side agenda by a large company or something like that. This was all done by people with diabetes, and we're the ones who put together the agenda. So the topics were sort of voted on, and it was really organic. I mean, I know that word can sometimes mean it's like the code word organic tends to mean like just a mess or chaotic, and maybe it was a little chaotic, but it was a beautiful chaos. And I think that I think just knowing that the amount of people that are excited about going back and all of the talk about how great it was has people that didn't go excited about going. I think it's just a true testament of the power of this event, and it all comes from the community. It comes from, I thought it came from all these people that all have these similar life, situations and stories and challenges, and were able to share them in a way where they weren't judged and they weren't looked down upon, and they were respected and they were valued and they were loved and they were welcomed, and it just was like that from the beginning until the end. And it was just, I can't say enough great things. I was honored and blessed to be a part of it. And I hope that I am able to do that again, because I think it was just amazing. And I'll just throw this in there before I hand it off to Scott here, because I feel like I can just keep ranting about how great this is. One really cool component that is going to be different about this next year's event is that there's going to be a room, quote-unquote room, for what we call type 3s or our loved ones, our spouses, parents of kids with diabetes. Although this is not a kids event, it's 21 and over. We're in Las Vegas, so that's one part of it. But, significant others, things like that, will have their own space. And I think that's really exciting, too. I know my wife is excited to be able to connect in the same way that we got to connect and talk to our peers in the diabetes world. They'll be able to talk to the support side of it. And they have their own challenges And I'm excited for my wife, to be honest. I'm excited for me, but I'm really excited for her to come and get to meet all these type threes, and because they're type awesomes. I think that's another way to call it. What do you got to say about it, Scott? I mean, I know I've rambled on and on, but I'm sure you got something to add.
No, I mean, I could have listened to you talk about that in that way forever. I think you did a wonderful job of kind of portraying the specialness of it. And, something that I keep thinking of was something that Carrie Sparling had said about it, was that one of the great things was how connected and alike everyone was through that. But also the differences that we were exposed to, appreciating the differences in everybody is a special thing that adds a lot of value also. And I think that's an important thing to remember. So, yeah, it's exciting that there's going to be an opportunity for those, loved ones and our caregivers and things like that to get involved and be there with us. And I'm really looking forward to it. I think that Christelle is one of the smartest people that I know, and is probably no doubt learned many lessons or things she wants to do better this next time around. And it's going to be a really, really great event. I can't wait to be there. And now that my dogs are barking, I'm going to turn my microphone off for a minute.
Well, another really important thing to mention, I think, is the people with diabetes there. So this was not just type 1. This was also type 2 people with diabetes. It's people that had diabetes from even other situations, not necessarily type 1 or type 2. The other thing is that I thought was pretty cool was that there were people had diabetes for over 50 years, and there were some that had for less than 6 months. I mean, to see that kind of like spectrum, right, of lives that have lived with diabetes, I mean, we all could learn from each other. Those veterans are learning about all these new technologies and the way, someone who never had to, do the urine and strips and all that stuff. We can all learn from each other, and it was so beautiful to see that it didn't matter. Everyone was welcome. It just makes you wish that was like a city we could live in, like a place where it's always like that.
Yeah.
Because it was really freeing and it was just great. So, yeah, I'm excited. So if you are at all interested, and if this helped at all, make sure you sign up and check it out. Or there's plenty of blogs out there. People have written about their experiences. I don't know if you guys saw, there was a post written by someone about the UN-conference who didn't go. Did you guys get a chance to see? It was a post on 2Diabetes, I think, if I remember right. Charisse, you can correct me if I'm wrong. But he wrote this post about the UN-conference, having just read about it from all of the other blogs, and just about how excited he was and what he could see was different about it through all of the posting. So if you're interested and you're hesitant, there's plenty of stuff out there. Check it out and see. And, you can always reach out to us. We'd be more than happy to talk to you about it too. But I think if you can and you have diabetes, I think you should come and check it out if you can.
Yeah, and people can.
Well, I'm going to try to go.
If you're interested, you can. That'd be great, Charisse. We would love to have you. I think it'd be a wonderful event for you to come to, and something where you would learn a lot and meet new people. And as you're talking, George, I was thinking that one of the things that was so cool about it was that nobody involved was like the answer person, right? None of us pretended that we had the answers to any of the topics. But once the topic was brought up, it was kind of given to the group to almost like just talk about. And I hate to use the word crowdsource because that's like a very overused word right now, but to crowdsource answers and ideas and perspectives. So it was something really special about it that's difficult to put into words. But I wanted to make sure to mention the website. It's diabetesunconference.com, and you can get some more information. As George and Charisse mentioned, the registration opens midnight tonight. Officially opens May 1st, 2015. So take a look and check it out.
Definitely. So, George, how you doing with your new iPhone? You get anything else to say?
Well, I'll tell you. So, here's the deal. So, I've been struggling with Lowe's recently, which we talked a little bit about last week. But I've been struggling with some Lowe's, and I was taking Invokana off-label, of course, with my doctor's guidance, and I was having a lot of really bad lows in the early morning, and with that I would have highs all day long that I just could not get down. I could just seem like I took all the insulin I could, and my blood sugar wouldn't go anywhere. So what we stopped the Invokana, which this past week made for a pretty good week of not having any lows in the morning, except on Saturday, or I should say Sunday morning, because Saturday, this goes back to what we were talking about at the very beginning of the show, I was up, I was just cleaning house. I was, you know, just cleaning everything up. I just went crazy. And on all of that cleaning was really like exercise for me. I don't, you know, so I was doing all that stuff, and sure enough, my blood sugar dropped. But it's just like you were saying, Scott, or and Charisse, like any little bit you do, any movement can really have an effect, which it did. So anyhow, but I still struggle with these highs during the day. So what we did was we adjusted my basal rates during the day. At night, they seem to be pretty good. And so far this week, I think I've been over 200 once through the week. And this is like postprandial. That's ridiculous for me. Like that is not. Now I know many other people don't have that issue, but for me, I look at carbs and I'm 200. Like, I just, every time I even put, you know, one bite of food, my blood sugar just skyrockets. So that's, I've noticed some really, my numbers have been a lot better with the adjustment, and, you know, and I'd seen my doctor twice in 2 weeks. We're just trying to stay on top of it. But another thing that I did was I got a Dexcom Share. So this is, if you're not familiar, it's with a continuous glucose monitor. So it's the Dexcom. What is it called? The G Plus or something? What's it?
I think it's G5, isn't it?
G4. Okay.
G4.
Seriously, I've got iPhone Plus 6, whatever. I don't even know. Atari 2600. I don't know anymore. I've got too many numbers. But anyway, so the new Dexcom receiver, it comes with something that's called Share. And what Share is it has a Bluetooth capability to be able to transmit your blood sugar, the readings that are on the Dexcom, to an iOS device, quote unquote, iPhone. So I, much to the chagrin of our DSMA creator Charisse, used to have an Android phone, but I really wanted this technology, and so anyhow, I decided to switch back to an iPhone, and so now what's really cool about this Dexcom Share is it transmits the readings from the Dexcom, from CGM, to the app on my phone, and I can have up to 5 followers that can log in and see that number, or they just get the alarms if I'm having a extreme low. There's some settings you can change. This has been pretty cool. My wife she's, you know, takes really awesome care of me, and is, you know, the times that I am low, she's typically the one that's waking me up, and before I'm even, my eyes are open, I've got a juice box or glucose in my face, and she's awesome. And so when, you know, she heard about this, it was kind of a no-brainer. She's like, I want to know if everything's all right. So she's all hooked up with it, and so I get a call on my way to work this morning, and she says, I don't know what's going on, but it's saying that there's no information, something's not working, is everything okay, right? So I reminded her that I had just changed my sensor this morning. There's some time to calibrate, and it takes some time to, you know, before you get started. And it's crazy because, and it's kind of like the way I was when I first got the Dexcom. Like, she is just looking at it all the time, you know? And I told her, like, honey, I get it, but you cannot let it take over everything. You've got to pace yourself, or you're gonna go crazy. It's just, you know, she's just kind of obsessed with this number now that she can see it all the time, which is very cool, and I appreciate that. I mean, I appreciate that she cares about me and, you know, wants to know. But at the same time, I don't want her to be as overwhelmed as I am or was when, you know, when I first got it. So it's really kind of interesting, you know, and I think she, you know, when I told her, just, you know, don't let it over, you're going to get overwhelmed. It's going to drive you crazy if you're looking at that arrow all the time. So she seemed to get it, and I think it's great, you know, and she just is, it makes her feel just comforted to know that if I'm, you know, away on business or if I'm just at work, wherever, she can just call and check up on me if she sees that something doesn't look right, you know. So, anyhow, it's pretty cool. I mean, I so far, I like it. I mean, I like it too because it's not like it's an added device. It's the actual Dexcom receiver I had anyway, and my phone. It's good to go. Plus, I make sure he's happy back on Apple phone. So, yeah, that's my deal.
I have a quick question for you. Is Jazz the only person that has access to your reading?
Yes, currently, but I can have up to 5 people. So if I wanted to, I can add others. You know, I thought about adding my doctor or something. I don't know. I'm not sure right now. The one that is, you know, I see the most benefit with right now is probably Jazz, but my wife Jasmine. But I know other people have, like, maybe a friend keep an eye on their blood sugar, and, you know, so there's some ideas there, but so far just my wife.
And what is her what is her thought? Like, seeing the information, I know right now it's overwhelming because it's a lot, but, like, is she excited, mm-hmm. as equally excited to finally be able to see what's going on, just to kind of ease her mind just a little bit? Is it helping that at all?
Yeah, I think so. And it's funny because she gets frustrated when, especially if I'm coming up from a low, she'll be looking at, well, this is just even the Dexcom receiver, and she'll go, why isn't it coming up? Like, I don't understand. And I, you know, got to remind her that this is not, you know, immediate. There's lag time there, and it takes some time. And so it's part of that frustration, you know, why isn't this stuff, like, immediate? Why isn't this exactly what your number is, you know? And her frustration, it totally makes sense. It's justified. Why isn't it? But we're closer, you know, and for those of us who didn't have it for so long, didn't even, you know, and those of us who didn't have meters before, you know, this is awesome, you know. But when you come in now at this point, you think, well, geez, this isn't even up to date. Like, everything should be exactly what it is. I shouldn't have to wait for it. It should be 15-minute lag. That's ridiculous, you know. But, you know, we live with it, and she gets it. But I think it does ease her mind to feel that connection to me and my diabetes all the time. She can pull it up and look at it and know where I am, and you know, act whatever she needs to. So it's good.
Has your kids asked to have access?
No, they have not, but you know, I haven't really. We haven't really talked about it. I don't know. I've thought about, my son is rarely around. He's usually out and about. But possibly my daughter might make sense. You know, she's more at home a lot. But no, you know, they kind of didn't really. I don't think I really. Honestly, now you say that, I don't know that I really even talked to them about it.
just because I'm not sure. But I mean, I would be open to that. And just again, you know, as much as I want them to, I've never hidden anything from them as far as my diabetes goes. I never would. But I also don't want to burden them for unnecessarily burden them. And so I feel like that may be something that, I don't know, for my wife, I get it because that is reassuring for her. But I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how they would feel. I'll talk to them about that. I will talk to them about it, and I will make sure I get back to you about that because I think that's an interesting thing just to find out what they think, you know.
Yeah, because I'm curious because I know my daughter, she's a little technology nut, but I think if she knew that she can watch my blood sugar and if I didn't text, because she gets mad at me if I don't respond to her text messages when she texts me because she thinks something's wrong. So I would be curious to see, like, when I'm traveling and stuff, so she can kind of keep an eye out. And you know, she's only 9. So I'm just curious to see, you know, like, what you know, because your oldest daughter, she's, you know, a senior in high school, and then, of course, Georgie. But I'm just curious to see what they would think.
You know, it's funny you say that, Therese. I in your situation, your daughter, that reminds me a lot of the way my wife is. She's concerned and wants to make sure she can check in with me all the time. And I think in that way, I think it can be, you know, it'd be a way for her to know mom's all right and not, you know, just she can just, it's like a little window. It's like peeking through the blinds. She can just kind of take a peek, make sure mom's good, and then she's all good, you know. I think in that way, unless she was constantly, you know, well, why is it going up? Why is it going down? Then that may be a little overwhelming for her. But I think if it makes her sleep better and allows her to go throughout her day without that, the burden of worry, then I think it's a great idea. You know, it's funny. This is the other thing too. Sharice, you'll love this. Jasmine wanted to know if there was a way that a map can be added to the Dexcom Share. So not only would she know my blood sugar is, but she'd know where I am, like in on the earth, right? So I told her.
I love her.
Okay. So listen, this is something that my dad does, and I've heard Robert Oringer talk about a lot too. But using the app Find My Friends on the iPhone, I mean, she has a map.
Right. She has, and she has me on that. She wants them together, so she could see. Like she wants the blood. She wants it all in one place. My wife wants it all.
Yeah, because think about it. Think about it, right? Because we want our data in one place. We want our pumps to talk to whatever, to do whatever. So what she's saying is, okay, you're giving me access to see what's happening. I want to know where you're at when it's happening because just in case I need to make a phone call, I know where you are.
Right. That's what she's saying. She's like, so if you're 29 and in a ditch, how am I supposed to know where you are? And I go, well, you can open the Find My Friends. Well, I'm not going to have time to do that because I'm going to be freaking out at your blood sugar. I mean, so for her, it's like Therese, exactly like you said. There's this and there's this. We want them together. We want some integration, and that's all she's looking for, you know, of the two things. So I get it. At first, I thought she was crazy, but then, you know, it's not a bad idea.
Gosh, I love her.
Yeah, she's so if anyone's out there listening.
I've got a question. So while we're talking about maps and the Dexcom Share, and since it's Bluetooth, say you have a car that's Bluetooth, will you be able to put the Share on the Bluetooth? Or does it have to, once that opens up to more devices, will you be able to see your Share through your Bluetooth on your radio? Just curious in the car.
I would imagine that would be, because the key is that, you know, it's pushing information for you to view. You know what I'm saying? Like, that makes sense to me. The hard part is having, being able to control the device from a phone or something else. That's where you get into trouble, like having a pump that you give a bolus from a phone. That's like, I don't know if that will ever happen, you know. iOS. Yeah, but, you know, you update your iPhone, it crashes, and then what do? You know, like, so I kind of get it. But that would be cool to be able to, like, have my little map, you know, my little Waze map on the Toyota Highlander and press a button or see my, you know, my reading up in the corner. Well, that's the other cool thing, though, which I think Scott, you may have mentioned this, someone was telling me that because the share, there's an app on my phone that's reading the share and then and reading the Dexcom and then pushing it out, it has a really big display of my Dexcom right on it. It's granted, it's the same thing that's on my little receiver, mm-hmm. but my little receiver does not stay on, and it's not a real bright screen. But if I set my phone up in my cup holder, which is where I typically leave it, and I have that app up, I can just glance down and see my Dexcom reading right there. That's awesome. So that's a really cool thing too.
Yeah.
But you know what, too, though? What if you took it to the next step, right? You remember how, you know, we used to always say, well, wouldn't it be cool if we could just take a picture of George? We could take a picture of the food, and then, you know, I think My Sugar now has something where you can actually take a snapshot of your actual BG numbers. Well, how cool would it be to be able to tell a story? So through your Dexcom, through this map, right? So you can say every time I get to 6th and Apple Street, get it, Apple Street? Okay, sorry. Every time I get to 6th and Apple Street, my blood sugar drops or my blood sugar goes high. So if you can take that real-time data and marry it and partner it with your actual day-to-day living, you know how powerful that would be, like how – amazing that would be to have that data. So you have your story with your BG, but then you have this map, and everywhere you went low or everywhere you went high, through running through the subway or getting on the airplane, how crazy would that be? That's like some next Sugar Honey Ice Tea stuff.
I like where you're going with that. How about, have either of you used SoundCloud on the web, right, where you've got the WAV file display and it shows where people leave comments, right? And so as the sound is playing, it pops up with the comment, right? So imagine like retracing your day, retracing the Dexcom graph, and as you hit a point like, okay, here I took 2 units of insulin, here I had a meal, here I exercised, right? You have to get these little context things kind of popping up to tell you more about what was happening during the day. I think you're on something
cool
with this idea, Cherise.
Yeah, it's all because of Jazz's idea with the map. But,
yeah,
I mean, just
the,
think about it, because we always want the story to be told. But if we're gonna tell the story, we're not gonna write 6 pages of the book and then leave off the intro to let you know what's going on. So if you can take that data and you hear my dog in the background, and marry that data with actually real time events. So I mean, just think about what it could do for adulthood parents. They can actually physically see that data, especially when they start giving their kids freedom to kind of manage their diabetes themselves. They can see that when they go over sleepover, their kid does this or their kid does that. But I think that would actually be really cool if you had a map for safety reasons, but then that map, with those mappings, you was able to kind of track, have kind of like Google Map, right?
Right.
Where you can
yeah.
track and see the little signs. So instead of seeing sign 58, you'll see like a little road map that says, 58, and then 2 days later, you're on the same road. 71. I mean, it's just kind of crazy, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's cool. See, that's great. We got all the ideas. We just got to, how do we make them happen?
First, we got to, we don't have any funding to make it happen. I think our ideas are great always, but we don't have the pockets to fund them.
Well, we got to think of that as the easy part.
Right, but hopefully somebody's listening to the show. I was going to say, hopefully somebody's listening to the show and they contact us and say, hey, we can help you make this happen.
That would be very cool. So have you guys now, Scott, do you use, did any of you guys use the Dexcom share before?
My insurance will pay for it.
Well,
what do you, But I thought you're using a CGM, Charisse. Is it that they won't pay for an upgrade yet, or is what's the situation?
So they paid for it, and then they paid for the sensors for a whole year. When I needed to get a new one, they wouldn't pay for it because they said I'm controlled and I don't have any signs of, which is crazy. So actually what's been happening is there's two amazing people in the diabetes community that sends me their sensors and their transmitters and their receivers. So when I do use them, that's how I'm using them.
Wow, that's very, very kind. Boy, that's a bummer. It seems so backwards, doesn't it? Too well controlled.
Yep. So do you have the share shot?
I do, yeah. And I just got fortunate with timing because my transmitter on my existing system, they only have a limited lifespan, and mine died shortly before the share system came out. And so me and my insurance bought a new system, and I was within the time window to get an upgrade for the share when it came out. So, George, what you were mentioning about having your iPhone kind of propped up, or in my case, I have a cradle on the dashboard of my car that I put my phone in, and I like being able to launch the Share app and just see my blood sugar with the glance. And really, you know, the other nice thing about the Share is that it's pretty maintenance free. You know, you don't have to do anything extra. It's just happening all in the background. Now, I don't have anyone really monitoring my data. My dad looks at it every now and again just because he likes it. He likes to be able to see it, and he's kind of curious. And you guys both know he's very involved in all things diabetes. But George, like you were talking about before, my wife has an Android phone, and so she can't see it. Although word on the street is that Dexcom will be releasing an Android package for it pretty soon, so she'll be able to see it. But one of the things that I also liked about the Share software is the configurability of it. So, for example, you and the people that are watching you can set different alert preferences. So, for example, you can say only alert my wife, or only alert if I'm low and I stay low for more than X number of minutes, or if I'm high and I stay high for more than 3 hours, or you know, something like that. So they're not receiving the same level of alerts. They can, of course, if they want, but you know, I wouldn't want my wife bothered by an alert every time my Dexcom receiver dropped below 80. That just, you know, when it drops below 80, I treat it, and you know, she doesn't need to know about that, but she does need to know if I'm in trouble, or and in that case, you can kind of set, I feel like they've done a really good job with those preferences and the configurability of the alerts. So I like that quite a bit. George, do you guys use any of those? I think it can take a while to get comfortable with what the preferences are and like what you guys want, you know, when you want the phone to start buzzing and things like that. Have you guys really played around with any of that stuff yet? I can't hear you. I hope you're muted. There we go. There we go.
This iPhone mute button is so weird. No, I'm kidding.
It's the iPhone mute button's fault. Right?
It's not the reason why. It's a silly Apple phone. we have it set with the if I go under 55, like the urgent low or something, it'll buzzer. And if I'm like under 60 or something for like a half hour, I did the same thing. I don't want it buzzing or at 80. You know, like you said, I'm pretty good even in the 50s. It's really when I get below that you know, I want to make sure I want her to know. I want somebody to know. I don't want to be alone in 40. You know what I mean? So, but 65, I can deal with that. You know, I'm pretty good about having glucose around. And but anyway, that's what we've done. And granted, it's only been about a week. And it was so funny because this low the other morning, my wife, I asked her about if she got an alert on her phone. She's like, oh, man, I changed it to vibrate so I didn't hear anything. So she's got to, you know, change that. But it's just a little habit. But, yeah, so that's all we've done with it. But I think it's pretty good, man. I feel better about it. And so that's worth it to me.
Yeah, I think we're on kind of an exciting crest of this data being open to be used in many different ways. We're going to see a lot of fun advancements that make life a lot easier for us. So I'm glad to see it moving along.
Definitely. Yeah. In fact, you know, it's funny, you know, you talked about my Dexcom died, and same thing as you, and I got my new deal, but I was like 2 weeks past the date that they would cover a new one. So it cost me a little bit out of pocket, but it was worth it to me, you know. So it's one of those things that the time was right where I was able to do it. So I figured that's something that's worth spending the money on. So, you know, but yeah, so that's good. Now I just got to think about an Apple phone. Charisse, what about the Apple phone? Or Apple
the
Watch.
Watch,
Apple Watch.
That's
what I thought.
Yeah.
See, I'm not even used to all these. I know. I don't even know how to unmute this thing anymore. By the way, I got the 6 Plus, which is like a small movie theater in my pocket. But it's awesome, you know. I mean, but it's just giant. It's giant.
Wait a minute, say that again. It's like a what?
What's that?
In your what?
It's like a giant movie theater in my pocket. It's like a movie. It's like a giant
and you
screen.
What?
It's, I mean,
you
I love it.
It.
It's awesome. I do love it. But it's just...
Oh,
yeah,
you know I'm getting the Apple Watch, and I'm going to get the sport version because I don't like to have a watch that looks like a watch, which is part of the appeal that I like about the Pebble, is that it looks techy, and I like the techy look of the sport watch versus the link chain. So I am going to get one, but I'm going to wait until I can physically walk in the store to buy one, so that way I can actually put it on my wrist to make sure I pick the right size, because those things are not cheap.
Right, and when is that going to be? What's the time for availability at the store?
I heard June.
Huh.
Because they sold like a million.
Right.
Already.
So
I'm also interested. Yeah, I'm saving too. It's you know, it's not one of those impulse purchases. But, you know, there was a time, and there still are times, where I used the Night Scout and CGM in the cloud technology to be able to see my CGM information on my wrist. And I think that whole movement actually helped push a lot of this, what we're talking about tonight, along. And I give those guys a lot of credit. But I really love being able to see my CGM information on my wrist. And so I'm excited about the possibility of, you know, Dexcom has already has an iWatch or Apple Watch, rather, compatible software for the Dexcom Share. And I can't wait to try it because I really... When I use the CGM in the cloud and Night Scout stuff, I love being able to just glance at my wrist and see what my CGM says my blood sugar is doing. And I really get a lot of value out of that.
You know what I'm excited about? I'm excited that I can be in the same room with people and I can send them nice little pretty pictures through my watch. I know. I can't help it. It's crazy.
You are. Out of control.
Yes, every time somebody sees my Pebble watch, they're like, so, do you have the CGM on there, CGM in the cloud? And I'm like, no, I didn't buy it for that. I bought it because I just like technology. I just like to have the social media stuff coming to my watch. Now, I'm excited about the Apple Watch already having that integration with Dexcom because it would be nice to be able to see that information not only in the HealthKit app but on my arm. So if I do have it, I can shut it off and turn it on when I need to see it, especially being at work. Sometimes I don't have access to reach down in my phone to get my phone to see things. So I think that that's pretty awesome. I'm excited. Like, technology has come so far. And even though it's come far, it still has a – can you imagine what it would be like 10 years from now?
I can't, because honestly, when, if I think back 5 years ago, I would never think that we'd be able to do the things we do. You know, it just seems like it's so – things change so rapidly. And what's cool is I feel like finally the diabetes technology is on that – like riding that wave. For so long, that wave was like moving and we were like paddling up to catch up, you know. And I feel like now – because think about it. I mean, that the CGM in the cloud didn't – it wasn't that long ago, you know, that that happened. And already you've got the Dexcom doing a version of it, you know. So that's just awesome. I love that. Just we keep – just those people that are innovators and that are techies and programmers that can build things and push industry ahead, that's so awesome. We're living in exciting times, that is for sure.
Definitely. So we only got 4 more minutes left of the show. Can you believe that?
Time flies. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yep, it's definitely amazing. It's like I'm sitting here like, okay, it's like 9:56, and it's been a really good, informative show.
So, Sharice, I'm wondering, did you meet your step goals for today?
So, I didn't move around as much as I normally would have. Like, I didn't take my morning walk at break, and I didn't take my afternoon walk during break. So, I am at, hold on, let me tell you. I think Karen may have
now
beat
that you're
me.
Talking, I remember you mentioning that now that I asked about it, so.
Yeah, I'm at like 10,500. I'm 106% past my goal. But then when you look at like Laddie, she's at 309% past her goal for today.
Wow.
But
wow.
I'm still.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's crazy, huh? And then in the work week hustle, Carrie is at 118,941 steps. I'm at 60,787
steps.
She's just bragging now. Yeah, Karen. I mean, Carrie's a beast. She's a beast. Carrie's a beast. Now,
what are they doing?
Me,
are they like, I mean, do these guys go out and they run a? They, I mean, how do you get that many steps in a single day? I get. We gotta find out.
You
what
must,
the
there must be.
Is.
Oh,
like,
I can tell you what I do. I pretty much, to get even just what I get, I move all the time. Like, I'm standing up at my desk, I'm on the phone in the middle between calls, I'm running around, or instead of, you know, going straight to the door to go to the bathroom, I go the roundabout way to go to the bathroom. When I'm standing at the coffee machine, I'm moving my legs, my feet, trying to get moving. And I think Carrie actually has a
So if you're doing all that, and like how much spread is there between you and Carrie or like you and Ben? I heard Ben is just a monster. I mean, amazing.
Well, Carrie's at 118,941, and I'm only at 60,787, and I'm in a number 3 spot.
I can't even, yeah, that's crazy.
But the cool thing about it, the group, though, everybody's averaging at least 30,000 steps between, you know, Monday and today, which is pretty good. I'm telling you, this is – I know that this is going to sound crazy, and I know I do like technology, but this Fitbit and the challenges, I challenge everybody every day. I just send a daily go, hey, don't forget to do your 10,000 steps. And it's funny because Carrie's like, I'm tired. And I'm like, we got to keep moving. So she actually dropped out of the daily challenge today. But it's fun. It's motivational. And I think that if people knew that other people were on it to get the motivation, it's not the motivation to make you feel bad if you didn't get your step. But seriously, to see somebody that wasn't making her step, and she saw that we were making our step, so we encouraged her to make her go and a little bit further. It's 10 o'clock, George.
Okay, well, there we are.
So before we wrap up, George, it's a very abrupt transition there, but I want to give a quick shout out to Mike Durbin. Mr. Mike, when I think of Fitbit, sir, I think of you, and that has long been a thing for you. So thank you for being a part of that and setting the tone. And with that, George, let's go ahead and wrap it up.
Well, we want to thank everyone for listening and participating in DSMA Live tonight. Remember, DSMA Live is a program provided by the Diabetes Community Advocacy Foundation. Visit DSMALive.org to listen to archived shows, read show notes, and check the schedule of events for upcoming shows. You can also subscribe to our podcast by searching DSMA Live in the iTunes store. Be sure to wear blue tomorrow for Blue Fridays. And until next Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, we'd like to wish you all a very happy and healthy week. Good night.